Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." That is the inscription upon the Liberty Bell. And this is the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. I want to thank you for listening in today. It is a blessing and a privilege to be back. And I was thinking today as I was preparing for the radio broadcast how quickly summer is passing by. Here we are already at the end of July and at the beginning of August. And when you think about August, you think about school starting back. Well, I'm not in elementary or high school anymore, but we are associated with and involved in a Bible Institute, and that is the Victory Baptist Church Bible Institute. That is a ministry of the Victory Baptist Church in Roan Mountain, Tennessee, with Pastor Jerry Honeycutt. The VBC Bible Institute is going to begin our fall semester August the 15th. That's just a few short weeks away, couple of weeks away. And that is for the on-campus students, those who will physically attend classes in Roan Mountain, Tennessee. But the great thing about VBC Bible Institute is that there are several ways that you can study the Word of God along with us. You could go to a satellite school, and Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, right here in Vilas, North Carolina, just outside of Boone, we have a satellite school. And so they will begin their classes on August the 22nd. And so there's plenty of time, if you're interested in studying the Word of God with VBC Bible Institute, to sign up, get involved this semester. Another great thing about VBC is you can join or you can start at any time, at the beginning of any semester, because it is a continuous three-year course. And so no matter, you don't have to wait for 3 years for the beginning to roll around. You can jump in any time. And wherever you start, is where you will finish. And so the satellite school will begin Thursday, August the 22nd. That's another way to study. You can also study by way of correspondence, where they will send you DVDs. You can watch them in your home. Or you can study online as well. So there's several ways to study along. If you are interested in something like this, you could call me, 828-963-4596. That is the church phone number. And we'll give that again at the end of the radio broadcast. But that's 828-963-4596. I'll give you as much information as I can, or you can go ahead and call VBC, talk to Preacher Honeycutt. That is 423-772-3848, and I'll give that number again in just a moment if you're getting a pencil and piece of paper. Or you can go to vbcministries.org and look up the information there. But the school telephone number, one more time, is 423-772-3848. And this school is growing, and I think last year we had more students than we'd ever had before. So that's a blessing. And God has really blessed the school. There's a lot of good men, good pastors that have studied and went through this school. We have missionaries that are on the field in all kinds of different places in the world. That's a blessing. And so it's just a good Bible-based curriculum that'll help you in studying the Word of God. This fall, this semester, will be Old Testament Survey, Brother Tull Oaks, and homiletics, which has to do with preaching specifically. It's probably the most preacher-oriented class that there is. The class is the preacher and his preaching, so it is anybody would benefit, but it'd be good for for anybody, but that one class is specifically directed towards preachers and pastors. And Brother Kenneth Forbes teaches that class. And then I'm going to be teaching Church History Part 1. And I'm looking forward to that. I love studying and teaching church history. So that's what we've got coming up this fall. And I wanted to take a few minutes just to encourage you and let you know about that. But I want to say good morning to Noah. He was running a little bit tight today on schedule, and so he's here. Good morning, Noah. How are you today?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning. We do want to say welcome to our listeners. We appreciate our listeners here. Those who listen in out of AM 1450 WATA, located in Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in out of AM 690 WZAP, out of Bristol, Virginia. And also those who listen in through 89.1 FM The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate our listeners. And I was going to mention, Noah is beginning his third year at VBC. And Lord willing, next spring, he'll finish up and graduate from VBC. And so you got any thoughts or advice on that? Get ready to read.
You're going to do a lot of reading.
A lot of reading. Mm-hmm. That's the main thing, isn't it?
That is.
Yeah, there is a lot of reading.
That's not a bad thing. It's good for you. You learn a lot.
It is. So that's the main thing, is there is a lot of reading, and then, of course, the class time. But anyway, we'd encourage you, if you're interested, to give us a call and get involved in that. But today, I want to go ahead and get into the subject of the radio broadcast. And there is a phrase in the preamble to the Constitution. I'm going to read it, but I'd like to look at and think about for the next few minutes. I'm going to read the preamble to the Constitution, and then we're going to take one little phrase there and look at it. The phrase we're going to look at today is where it says, "Promote the general welfare." So it says, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." So we're going to look at that little phrase. We could adjust that a little bit because that's in a long sentence, but we could say to the purpose of this Constitution, one of the purposes, to promote the general welfare. Now, welfare is capitalized there in my little copy of the Constitution. And welfare has a different meaning today than it did in the year 1789, the late 1700s, when they were talking about to promote the general welfare. They were not talking about what we generally think about when we think about the word welfare. Normally, when we think about welfare, that is used in the context of government handouts, food stamps, government assistance programs of all kind, whether it be federal, state, or local, different programs, welfare checks, government housing, federal grants for all kinds of different things. That's what we generally think of when we hear the word welfare. But as I study history and the beliefs of our founding fathers, the furthest thing from their minds was producing a gigantic welfare state. That is not what they meant or were alluding to when they put in the preamble there to promote the general welfare. Thomas Jefferson said this in his writings. He said, "If we can prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people." Now, we could stop right there and spend a long time going down through a list of examples of how the government wastes the labors of the people. You hear that all the time in every election. Every time whether it's the IRS, whether it's it wouldn't matter, whether it's talking about the military, whether it's talking about social programs, anything, politicians, they'll come along. We're going to cut waste. We're going to cut this weight. You know, that's one of the ways they were talking about getting the deficit under control. We're going to cut out all this wasteful spending. Well, Thomas Jefferson said, if we can prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people under the pretense of taking care of them, they must become happy. They were not for a welfare state like we think of it. Another one of our founding fathers, Samuel Adams, he said this, and this can apply today in many different levels, but he said the utopian schemes of leveling. Now, when they use that phrase leveling, what they were talking about is what we hear today. We hear this phrase, Mr. Obama said this many times and others, the redistribution of wealth. We're going to take from the haves and give to the have-nots. We're going to level the field. Well, that's communism. That's socialism is what that is. Fascism, all these isms you hear about. But Samuel Adams said that was a utopian scheme. He said the utopian schemes of leveling and a community of goods. A community of goods would be where the government owned all the sources of production. They own the coal plants. They own the car factories. They own the whatever produces. They own everything. That's socialism. We have had that introduced into our nation in a very big way in the past few years. But he said this utopian schemes of leveling and a community of goods are as visionary and impracticable as those which vest all property in the crown. He said these ideas are arbitrary, despotic, and in our government, unconstitutional. And so our founding forefathers, that if they could come today and see the gigantic welfare state that has become America, they would be appalled and no doubt very disappointed. And so that is not what they had in mind when they talked about to promote the general welfare. Now, I looked up in the old Webster's Dictionary, the Dictionary of the American Language by Noah Webster. And this is the closest dictionary, or this dictionary, actually. Noah Webster was contemporary with Samuel Adams, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, all these founding fathers. In fact, you'll find some of his writings right along there with many of the others. And so the 1828 dictionary by Noah Webster has two definitions for the word welfare. And at the beginning of that definition, it says, comes from two words, well and fair. Now, I'm a pastor, and I love to study the Bible. I love to study history. I love to study words, and especially compound words. When you find compound words in the Bible, or you find compound words in our English language, it's just a very rich study. And so welfare comes from two words, the word well, W-E-L-L, and the word fair, F-A-R-E, and it means, according to Webster's Dictionary, a good faring. Now, he gives two definitions for that word welfare, and this is very interesting. The first one applies to persons or to individuals. The second one applies to civil government and the states. And so the first definition he gives for the word welfare applies to persons. Think about this. He said, exemption from misfortune, sickness, calamity, or evil, the enjoyment of health, and the common blessings of life, prosperity, happiness, applied to persons. Now, in the Bible, the book of 3 John, verse number 2, it's only one chapter in 3 John, but John said this. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. He desired for them that they would have good welfare. That's what that is. That's a good definition for that, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now, John, he's referring not only to the spiritual. I think a lot of times we think about the Bible, we think only in spiritual concepts. We're thinking about spiritual things or things pertaining to the soul, but he is referring also to the body, that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Well, the second definition for the word welfare, he says this: exemption from any unusual evil or calamity, the enjoyment of peace and prosperity, are the ordinary blessings of society and civil government applied to states. So one definition applied to persons, the second definition applied to states. Now, welfare in the preamble to the Constitution, if we think about this a few minutes today, in the preamble to the Constitution, it has to apply to both, because the Constitution, it applies to the states. And so to promote the general welfare, we would think, well, that applies to the states. But the preamble to the Constitution starts out, we the people, that's persons. And this welfare that it's talking about in the preamble there, it's basically the same definition, the enjoyment of health, peace, prosperity, the ordinary blessings of society. And so that applies to persons. That applies to states as well. Now, I was looking at that phrase. I like to look at phrases, technically speaking. And what I mean by that, what do these words mean? It would be good for people today to sit down with the Bible, with our founding documents, the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution, and a good dictionary, and just think about what was in their minds. What were they talking about? What were they thinking about? Well, one of the purposes of the Constitution, the one that we are dealing with specifically today, to promote the general welfare. We notice that phrase, promote there. Now, what got me thinking about this, and a lot of times there's a long story in what got me thinking about certain subjects, whatever that might be, whether I'm preaching, teaching. But what got me to thinking about this was the subject of health care. Now, that is becoming or become synonymous with the government. We hear this all the time. Obamacare, health care, universal health care. The government, the federal government, is in the business, whether we like it or not, and getting more so, they're in the business of our personal health care. But I begin to think about this and actually formulate in my mind that the Constitution says nothing, absolutely nothing, about the government being involved in health care. But then I got to thinking about it, and thinking about it come to my mind this phrase, promote the general welfare. Well, I knew that word welfare was not like we think of it, about getting food stamps or government assistance, but the word welfare I knew already had to do with general well-being, a good faring, as we read over there, the enjoyment of health, peace, prosperity. The preamble to the Constitution says that part of the purpose of the Constitution is to promote the general welfare. Now, that word promote, the government or the Constitution ought to be promoting general welfare. That's well-being, happiness, prosperity, peace, good health for everybody. They ought to be promoting this. The word promote, I looked that up in the dictionary. It means this. It means to forward, to advance, to contribute to the growth of, the enlargement or excellence of anything valuable. And so I begin to think of this, to promote the general welfare. The Constitution, the purpose of it, ought to be to promote the enjoyment of health, peace, prosperity, the general blessings of society. The Constitution, rightly followed, would do that and has in the past done that for us. I don't think anybody would argue today that once upon a time, and we still have evidence of it all round about us, that the United States of America is one of the, or once upon a time at the very top, the wealthiest, healthiest, greatest, most powerful nation upon the face of the earth. We didn't get there by accident, but we have a constitution to go by. We have the great history and heritage of God being in our foundation. People came to America seeking religious freedoms, and so we have this great heritage. We didn't get to this place by accident. But, you know, the greatest way for our government to promote the general welfare, the well-being of all, would actually be to go on a radical diet where all that it was allowed to have is what is prescribed in the Constitution. Now, I am thankful that we do have a very few people in government, in the House of Representatives, even a few senators. We have some people in our local state governments that are waking up and seeing just how far we have gotten away from the Constitution and from our founding principles, and are trying very hard. And they need our prayers and they need our support, but they're trying very, very hard to get us back to those founding principles. Now, recently, and I spoke about this last week just a little bit, but the government, our government, is in the business and has been in the business for a long time, but it's just now really coming to light and people becoming aware of it. But every time you use your phone, who you called, how long you talked to them, things like this, the government stores all this information. We know about data mining and reading your emails, and I mean, this has been in the news for weeks and weeks and weeks now. And so the government is spying on you. We talked about last week how this is never for good. When a government becomes that large and that intrusive, it is always for a purpose, and it is never for a good purpose. But he's Representative Justin Amash, I think is how you say his name, but he's from Michigan. He's in the House of Representatives. His last name is spelled A-M-A-S-H. Amash, I don't know how that's pronounced. But he introduced an amendment before the House of Representatives that would have stopped the NSA, the National Security Administration, data collection, what they were doing with the phone numbers, the emails, storing all this information. And so he introduced a bill. Well, it did not pass. They're going right along. Now, that is in direct violation to the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution. But he tried, and it just fell short by about 12 votes, if I remember correctly. But I've seen an interview that he did with one of the news organizations, and boy, the reporter, you know, he's asking him all these hard questions, good questions. He was asking him about, he said, well, what about terrorism? What about security? They need to know. And one of the interviewers there, they said, well, what about the Boston bombers? We need to be able to look back, see who they were talking to, who their contacts were, all of these things. Without this data collection, we wouldn't have any of that. And I was very impressed by how Mr. Amash answered the interviewers there, because he kept going back. No matter what they said to him, he kept going back to this. He said, but we have in a free country, if we're going to have liberty, we have a constitution. We need to abide by our constitution. If we do away with this, we are doing away with our freedoms, our liberties. And he stayed on that track that we have a constitution that all of our elected representatives, they take an oath when they go into office. They take an oath that they will uphold and defend the Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. They take an oath to uphold the Constitution, and I believe it, they start breaking that oath when they take their hand down, a lot of them. You know, just a sidelight to that, I don't have very long to run a rabbit very far, but they brought up this Boston bombings. Well, we need to look back and see who they were talking to. You know, if you know anything about that, they knew who those men were. The FBI had interviewed them, talked to them, used them as informants. The Russians had warned us about these two men. Our government already knew that they were trouble. They let them go to foreign countries and stay and come back. They already knew about these people. The collection of data on them did nothing to stop the Boston bombings that happened last spring. And so this continual, well, what about security? Hey, they knew, they already knew these guys were trouble, and it didn't stop them. That's not an excuse to do away with our constitutional liberties, our God-given rights. Well, the government needs to go on a diet, and if people do not push this, if they don't bring this to the forefront, we're losing our liberties big time, quickly. In this country, we are a police state. We are being watched, herded like, my time's about to run out. But it would promote the general welfare if the government went on a diet that all they had was what is prescribed in the Constitution. Well, I know what people would say. Well, what about all these things the government is involved in? Who would take over all these things? Do you know the Constitution has the answer to that? It is called the 10th Amendment, which this amendment is getting a lot of usage nowadays. A lot of states are taking advantage of the 10th Amendment. And it is a very good thing. The 10th Amendment says this: the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. If the Constitution does not authorize the federal government to do it, then the federal government has no business doing it, no matter what it is. And that power needs to go to the states or to the people. That's the way that it's set up. Well, our time is quickly getting gone today. I wanted to give just a quick update about, I had a radio broadcast a few weeks ago about abortion laws in North Carolina. They did pass legislation concerning abortion, which abortion providers will have to have the same standards as other ambulatory surgical centers, and it will prohibit abortion based on sex selection. So this is good. This is a good thing in the state of North Carolina, and I think it's an answer to prayer, and I commend those that had something to do with it positively. But so it's good, but you think about it still, what that says about us as a society, that it will now be safer to murder our unwanted children. That's what that boils down to. Says a great deal about where we are. Well, the more I see, the more I think about John the Baptist, or John the Apostle. He said in Revelation 22:20, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.